good evening and welcome to our Tuesday night celebration of life. Last week we had the opportunity to discuss the art of connection, where we want to start focusing outwardly on other people. I'm working on a new version of the assessment, and I spent the entire day between coaching sessions working on just the measurement of empathy. Just the measurement of empathy alone. I want to read something to you that I wrote today on empathy. It says, right here at the beginning, here we go. This is the mother of all external characteristics. When we are empathetic, we honor a person's uniqueness and infinite worth. We willingly stand on his or her path. We care enough to clearly see life through his or her eyes. We may not always like what or agree with what we see, but we want to see it accurately. And we also know that other out-of-balance thought processes may attempt to overshadow this characteristic and rob us and everyone around this powerful gift. Consciously embrace it. This is the first measurement in connection with people. And it really sets the tone for the whole entire external world of this assessment. How we feel about people starts to dictate all of those other measurements that we have been exploring. And now it's time for us to go into mental creation. This is such an important section of our program, because this is an area where we spend time thinking about how we'd like our life to be. There is no action here. There is no doing. There's no valuing of ourself. This is just how we'd like life to be. How do we want life to show up? What is it that we're looking for in our lives? So if you could turn to your assessment, to mental creation, and just keep in mind that as we walk through each one of these measurements, this is an activity that's going on just in our mind, thinking about thinking. And these are the different areas that we think about when we're considering our life. The first question we want to explore, and it's one of the most important, is what is our primary motivation? What gets us up in the morning? What keeps us going? What do we pull on when we get knocked down? What's happening? Are we self-directed? So in our mind, this is the foundational measurement. This is the most important of all of them in terms of thinking about our life. Just thinking about our life. Are we self-directed? Or do we have to have someone else prod us or some other thing, such as fear of consequences or a sense of obligation or duty or perfection? Or do we simply take absolute accountability and responsibility for what we do and do it because we want to and get to and choose to? Being self-directed. Now that's at the foundation of the conversation we have with ourselves about our life. And it determines whether we feel passionate. It determines whether we feel fatigued when it's not necessary. Whether we make things harder than they need to be when we actually start doing things, whatever thought process we entertain here impacts all of our world, internally and externally. So just take a look at your assessment and ask, what do my thought processes want? Because as we're talking about this, don't we all want to be self-directed, to act on our own moral authority? Doing the right thing for the right reason because we want to and get to and choose to? Can you feel the power in being in that position? We choose to get up in the morning and exercise because we want to be in good shape. We choose not to eat that extra donut. We choose to read that book. We choose to get rest when we need it. We choose to budget. We choose to be careful with how we spend our money or invest it wisely. We make those choices. That's self-directed, very powerful measurement. So here we are inside of our mind looking at our life. The next thought that we entertain is, what is our expectation for our own personal performance? How much do you think we can get done in a day? At what level should we perform? At what quality of a level should we perform? We call it honorable. Can be somewhat misleading. I'm actually in the new assessment changing the name of this one to contribution. Are we a contributor or are we a taker? Do we just let our wheels spin, bide our time, and go through the motions, basically sucking energy out of life? On the other hand, are we so driven by perfection that no matter what we do, it'll never be good enough? So we're in this unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable. Or do we honor our abilities, our gifts, and have realistic expectations for our own performance? Another key thought process we have internally. It's going to determine the quality of what we do. Number three, it's goal-oriented. Now, this is the measurement that is the most active. The mathematics behind this is a systemic thought to the power of a systemic thought. It's thinking about thinking. So not are we just in our head thinking about the motivation we want to have, how we feel about our performance. Now we're just thinking about the way we just like it to be. How would I like my life to be? And many of you have this measurement orange or red. That's not necessarily a negative. It just means it's dangerous. It is so active. It's so vivid that wherever it goes, it's going to create an expectation. It could go to catastrophe, play out worst-case scenarios all the time, and just expect the worst. That's that pessimistic thinking, that negative thinking. We could spend time in fantasy, imagining what it's going to be like when we have the money, when our goal has been accomplished, and we start living beyond it very vividly. Imagine, oh, what it's going to be like to have that car or that house or have our debts paid off or finally have that 100 pounds we've lost or whatever it might be. That's dangerous, both of them, because we create an expectation for how life should be. Remember, this is just in our mind. But in our mind, it's so real that we're going to hold tangible reality hostage to whatever it is we're thinking. If we're thinking about living lavishly or debt-free, and all of a sudden we wake up the next morning and we're not in that kind of circumstance, we've set ourselves up for a horrible experience because it's so real to the mind that the body's going to react to protect it. Cortisol surge. The amygdala is going to send out those fear dendrites and shut down our prefrontal cortex and leave us rendered emotionally paralyzed, ready to flee or fight. How are we spending this thought process about the way we'd like our life to be? We're going to talk a little bit more about this tonight, in terms of the five constructive ways that we'll want to be thinking. Because this measurement is probably the most critical of all the measurements in the internal world. Because if it's out of balance, which means it's very vivid, and it's used destructively, it'll turn your life upside down. You'll constantly be living in tangible reality, in resentment and frustration and overwhelm, discouragement. You'll be beating yourself up. What's wrong with me? Why can't I have it? I can almost touch it. I can almost taste it. What's wrong with me? Does God not love me? We'll be questioning our worth and worthiness and ability and beliefs, all centering in this thought process. So take a look at it and see what your assessment's saying. And just ask yourself, have I been anywhere in the last 24 hours or I've gone to a time in the future when I get that job, or I get that house, or I get that bonus, or I get that commission. And then we started living what it would be like if that were to happen. Now, seeing possibilities is a good thing. Then we come back to the present and we do everything, because everything between here and there is in the future. We start doing all the millimeters to actually create it. Then we have it. Then we can live those things. But why spend one moment in our mind living them until it's actually created? It's a waste of time. It's very deadly to someone who has this thought process over focus. So just take a look. And remember, we're just in our mind. All of these measurements are just in our mind. How do we want to show up in life? How would we like our life to show up? Next one's interesting. We call it coachable. I'm going to call it coachability. Coachability. In other words, are my thought processes, and I want to emphasize that because we can step back from any of these and override them if they're out of balance. We can take that red, goal-oriented, and use it constructively and create incredible things. Not coachable. If it's red, it's really kind of stuck. Stuck. It's not very open to an idea. I'm going to open up the manual. We've spent years working on this and perfecting these definitions. And this one is often misunderstood. Because people say, well, I'm coachable. And I say, yeah, you are. But is your thought process? Does this thought process want you to be locked into what it thinks is right or wrong? It may discourage you from considering opposing points of view. When you listen to this thought process, you may become skeptical, stubborn, or even obstinate, thinking that personal change, this is a key phrase, is either too difficult or not possible. Now, it doesn't make sense that we're here in self-improvement, yet we don't believe we can change. But if we've been here for a few months and we've gone through a personal coaching program, now we're on the Tuesday night calls and things still aren't showing up the way we'd like them to, we might go, start going, well, is anything going to change? Well, the only way it's going to change is to actually start thinking differently. Are we open to new ways of thinking? We might start looking for flaws in opposing ideas instead of looking for value. May even resist or even avoid trying new things, even when it could be in your best interest. For example, when someone is so overwhelmed, it's hard to show up and connect with people, to be a good listener and really pay attention to what's going on in their world and respond. We got too many distractions, too many things going on in our mind, worrying about the mortgage payment or the house payment or the business or whatever. We got too many distractions to be fully present. Yet, Og says the greatest secret of success in all ventures is love, agape love. It's focusing outwardly on another person and showing up for them. Success is dependent on us doing this. Yet are we willing, is this measurement willing to support us in doing that, or is it going to be resistant? Just believing that's just too hard to do. That's just too hard to do. The answer is, yeah, it can be hard to do, but if it requires that to succeed, are we going to do the hard thing? Can we choose the hard thing? Interesting question. So take a look at coachable. Pragmatic. Here I am thinking about my life. I have an idea of how I'd like it to show up. I have an idea how I'd like to show up in it. I have an idea of my motivation. And as I'm considering how I'd like my life to be, I all of a sudden become aware in my mind of all the things I'm going to have to do. And I should say it melodramatically. All the things, oh, everything that needs to be done to finally get back to where I used to be or get to where I want to be. I wrote in the observer's chair that this measurement didn't show up very often orange until 2009. It's been showing up increasingly since then, because more and more people are getting discouraged by the amount of energy it takes just to sustain status quo. We're so used to things growing, equity going up, credit lines going up, being able to spend more money, getting notices from our credit cards. I've just raised your credit limit from $10,000 to $15,000. We're so used to those things, and all of a sudden, they want to reduce everything. They want to stop everything. I'm not getting a bonus at work, or they want to cut my health insurance benefits, or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, we're just so overwhelmed by everything that's going to take. Sometimes it feels like it's just keeping me from getting to the next level. And keep in mind, remember, we're just in our mind. We haven't even started doing, and we're already starting to be overwhelmed by what it's going to take. What are the chances we're going to show up owning our clay, focused on taking it and creating the most we can with it, being open to people being put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve? What are the chances we'll show up in that kind of energy when pragmatic is orange and just overwhelmed? We're just overwhelmed. This last measurement, resolute, I've seen show up a lot, more so in the last probably year, which is a measurement around the word commitment. Commitment. Here I am thinking about my life. I'm thinking about where I want to dedicate my time and my energy, and that'll bring value to my life at a deep level. Where do I want to put my time, my energy? And if we've made a few mistakes, or the economy has turned our decisions into what appears to be mistakes, we may not have time. We may think we're too old to make another one. I don't have the energy. At that burn rate, I'll be out of money. And so we don't make one, because this thought process is all or nothing. I'm either going to be this forever, or I'm not going to do it at all. I had a great moment early this morning. I am doing a custom assessment for a company. It's a monumental task. And this morning I was feeling just a little overwhelmed by it. And I was having trouble making that commitment. And I've learned this lesson so many times. Act now. Jump first, peace second. If we want the peace around it, to understand where we're going to go with some certain things that are challenging questions, we may not get any of the answers till we finally jump in. And here we are, later in the evening. Had a chance to spend a little time on this today. Had some great breakthroughs, some insights that came in terms of how I want to structure this instrument so it works very effectively. I'm going to bed tonight going, wow, that was a great day. That was a productive day. We got a lot accomplished, and I don't have any more mystery. Now it's just plugging in into that format that I just came up with, how I'd like it to look. Just sharing with you that I had that moment this very day. By making a commitment to jump into a decision, the rest of things become clearer. Don't hold back on a business decision, on a relationship decision, because you're trying to make a perfect decision. Maxwell Maltz used to say that. You'd never get to make a perfect decision. You make a good decision, and then you work tirelessly to make it a great decision. Most decisions aren't great when we first make them. They're the best we've got with what we've got, and then we jump in and proceed. So if this measurement's got you, it's time just to jump in. Hogg says that when I act without hesitation, the flutters in my heart will vanish. Now I know that action reduces the lion of terror to an ant of equanimity, peace of mind. Peace of mind. So here we are. These six measurements, the six things we consider in our life, our basic motivation, our own performance. This is just internally, not externally. That's over on the other side. This is just internally. Our motivation, our personal performance, how we'd like our life to look, our openness to new ideas. Do we see from a practical standpoint what it's going to take to actually execute? And are we okay with that? Are we overwhelmed by it? And are we committed? Six powerful measurements. Because the results of these we're going to bring into our joy in the journey. How am I feeling about how my life is turning out? What's happening? We're going to save that one for a little later in our, we're about, let's see here, 1, 2, 3 weeks from now. We'll start going into that, but we're going to take on a couple others before we get there. But these six thought processes drive this piece. So I just want it to be very clear tonight. If we learn nothing else, just look at your assessment and know that these thought processes are going to govern my expectations for life, my life. And I will hold my life hostage to these. Are they realistic? Are they supportive? Are they igniting passion or are they causing frustration? Take a look at joy in the journey just for a moment. Just peek up there to see if there's any orange or red. Because that orange and red is just, all those measurements are, in short, is my mind trying to reconcile the difference between what I thought about in mental creation and the realities of my life. I'm having a hard time reconciling them because there's such a huge difference between the two. And just take a look up at self-esteem and say, wow. And as a result, how am I feeling about myself? What's my dialogue with me about me as a result? Now, before we go into any of these principles tonight, did that open up any insights for anyone? Anybody have a clearer understanding? Any questions about the assessment, about mental creation before we go into principles tonight?
Hi, Dave. It's Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm quite well tonight. Thank you.
Wonderful.
A question about, I mean, you say it's all internal, it's all our thinking, and you know, are we coachable, are we open, can we take in new ideas, and you've sort of described that there's a trap in that. And so, you know, how do we get out of that? Because I think that I'm open to new ideas. And yet I, you know, also feel like I just go around in the same circles over and over and over and over.
The distinction you just drew is beautiful. I'm open, could we say, but my thought processes sometimes aren't. So I'm in a constant battle with them. And the first question you want to ask is, who's going to be in charge?
Well, I don't know how to tell the difference most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see if I can help you. May I use an example of what's going to happen immediately after we finish this call?
Sure.
I will be on the treadmill for 30 minutes. Now, that's what I'm going to do. What's the likelihood that by the time we finish this call tonight, and I've been going for 14 hours today, that I might sit down and say, well, you know, I'm kind of tired tonight. Think that might show up?
Yeah, but you've just made a commitment to me that you're going to, so I know that you will.
You know that I will, because I made a commitment to me. Yeah, not to you. I made a commitment to me.
And you spoke it aloud, but you spoke it so it has accountability.
Yeah, and I've done that before and still not done it.
Mm-hmm.
And so have you.
I have, lots.
Because, lots of times, because we let our thought processes talk ourselves out of our own commitments. So if we're looking at these thought processes, and these are some of the hardest ones to shift, Catherine, these are toughies, because they're systemic thoughts, they're right, wrong, win, lose, life, death, all, nothing, and they release chemicals in our bodies. We actually can feel them. And we can get really attached to our unhealthy habits of thinking. And the truth of the matter is, do I really, in my heart of heart, of all the things I could do tonight, is getting on the treadmill for 30 minutes on the top of my list?
Probably not.
Absolutely not. I've got a great book I'd like to finish. I started this weekend called Quiet. If anybody's read it or haven't, go grab the book. If you have any possibilities of being introverted, you'll love the book. You'll want to read it. I'm an introvert. I just love to read the book. It's great. I'd like to work some more on this assessment tonight. But I have committed to do this 30 minutes because I know that if I'm going to get my body in the shape that I want it to be in, this is the next step in the process. This is the next piece. I've been eating clean all day, so I've done all of those things correctly. Now we're going to do this 30 minutes on the treadmill. That's part of the routine for the day. If I truly, and so when I get ready to do the treadmill, a couple of things I'll do is I will go back and I will envision why I'm doing the treadmill. It's not just about doing the treadmill. It's why am I doing it? What is my objective? I've eaten clean all day long. I'm down 3 pounds this week. I have a goal that I want to reach by a certain period of time. I don't have a day I can miss to get there. How important is this day in the sequence? And I'll start to get passionate about where I want to be, and that'll put me on the treadmill, and 30 minutes from now, I'll feel such a sense of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that's the pattern. Even knowing that's the pattern, do you think there might be a time when I'll still talk myself out of it?
Yeah, of course.
Yes, of course. So the question is, can I more often than not, me, be in control, self-directed, want to, get to, choose to? Can I make that decision? Can I stick to it? Because I know the more often I do, the more successful I'll become in that objective, the better I'll feel about myself, the healthier I will be. Yet there still be some days when that thought process is just I will surrender my free will to these years of accumulated habits and the past deed of my life already marks out a path which threatens to imprison my future. Now, I'm taking you down that long road for this one reason. There's not a book on the planet. There's not a CD on the planet. There's not a coaching program on the planet that can make that decision for you in that pivotal moment. No one on the planet except for you. That's it. So the books help you to become aware of the moment. The affirmations help you to become aware of the moment. The coaching helps you become aware in the moment. But you're now in the moment. What are you going to do? Are you going to surrender to an unhealthy habit of thinking? Or are you going to choose differently? It's called a pivotal moment. And the only person who gets to make that decision is you. And we're growing up in a world where we want other people to make the decisions for us. We want other people to be responsible for the outcome. And in this case, with a thought process, the only person is us. That's it. Here's the good news. We make the decision. And we start to create a new furrow. That's what Og says when he talks about, I must create new furrows and plant good seeds, create new habits. If we, every time we have this issue, like exercise for me, 30 minutes a night, I do it. And I do it again, and I do it again, and I do it again, and I do it again. What I do know that eventually there'll be a furrow, a new neural pathway building in my brain to a point that this isn't such a battle anymore. It's less and less of a battle. It's becoming more and more of a habit. And when it finally becomes a habit, that's when we can feel the actual shift occur in our mind. I'm going to read it to you so you can feel it, because this is an absolute true statement. You find it in scroll number 1. He says, I'll begin to awake each morning with a vitality I have never known before. Now, I know some of my habits, and I'll just share this with you very vulnerably. I have shifted. I have felt that shift. I felt what he's talking about here. This is not one of them. I played college football, and it's still not one of them. This is hard for me. So I smile and say, what's hard for you? What's the hard one for you? I wake up with a vitality I've never known before. My vigor will increase. My enthusiasm will rise. My desire to meet the world will overcome every fear I once knew at sunrise. He's not saying we overcome the fear isn't gone. It's that the desire to meet the world overcomes the fear, the excitement we have with the new day. And I'll be happier than I ever believe possible in this world of strife and sorrow. Eventually, I'll find myself reacting to all situations which confront me, as I was commanded in the scrolls to react. And soon these actions and reactions will become easy to perform, for any act with practice becomes easy. We could say easier. Thus a new habit is born, for when an act becomes easy through constant repetition, every pivotal moment, I make that decision. Pivotal moment, make that decision. Pivotal moment, make that decision. Through constant repetition, it becomes a pleasure to perform, and if it's a pleasure to perform, it's man's nature to perform it often. When I perform it often, it becomes a habit, and I become its slave. And since it's a good habit, this is my will. So, Catherine, everything you've been doing, every book you've read, every class you've taken, every session you attend, is to simply prepare you so that when you face the pivotal moment, you will make a different decision. That's how you change it. There is no easy way. Some thoughts are easier to shift than others. These happen to be some tough ones. You wake up in the morning and self-direction is in have to, should, and must. And remember, we're going to have those 3x5 cards. I want to. I get to. I choose to. I will command and I will obey my own command. We stick that on our nightstand. We wake up in the morning. We look at it. I want to, I get to, I choose to. I want to, I get to, I choose to. I will command, obey my own command. This is stupid. Ugh. Okay, I want to, I get to, I choose to. Whose idea was this? There's got to be a different way than this. No. What this is forcing us to do is face that unhealthy habit of thinking and letting us audibly hear it. Because when we're going, I want to, I get to, I choose to, that is this thought process being audible. That's what it sounds like. I don't want to do this. This is crazy. I'm tired. I didn't sleep very well last night. I had indigestion. I've been working for 3 days in a row for 20 hours, and I haven't slept. You hear all the dialogue. That's just what it sounds like. That's just this thought process talking. It's all first person. And if we do feel tired, which we will, because the molecules being released in our body are exhausting the cells in our body, we feel awful. That's why Og says, weak is he who allows his thoughts to control his actions. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts, knowing that when we choose differently, we release different chemicals in our bodies and we feel differently. He gave us a whole list of those in Scroll 6. So, here we are in the pivotal moment. What decision are we going to make? If we make one that's healthy and we make it again and again and again and again, it's going to create a new neural pathway. It's going to get easier over time until it becomes a habit and we become a slave to that habit. And the thought process is shifted. We get in the morning kind of like this. We go, why am I doing this? Every time I start my day in this, I have a day. You know, trees and plants depend on the weather, but yea, I make my own weather. I bring it with me. If I bring rain and gloom and doom and pessimism, my customers will feel that rain and gloom and doom and pessimism. If I make a different choice, I'm not faking it. I'm consciously choosing it. I'm choosing to enjoy the day. And this thought process is going, you don't feel good. You feel awful. And at some point in time, we do like Dr. Kennedy did down in Florida, driving to the office. And he looks up at this thought process and says, shut up. I'm going to have the best day of my life, whether you want to or not. That conscious of a decision if we have a self-direction measurement that's orange, it is a powerful thought process. It is what we think is our voice. It sounds like us. That's why we do want to, get to, choose to, so that we can actually hear it. And when we finally can say those words and have them resonate from inside our being, we know we're finally back in charge. And the truth is this, Catherine, last comment on this issue for now. And that is that our negative habits of thinking often are the dominant voice. We think that's who we are. And our true self is so buried in that negativity that it's like a whisper in the distance. We're going to wake that whisper up and put it back front and center stage. Take on this thought process and shift it. Now, there's a soapbox for you. I hope it was okay. What came up for you while I was sharing that?
Thank you.
Are you okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Isn't that interesting, everyone, that everything we do just prepares us for the moment of decision, but the decision's ours.
More often we make it.
Hello?
Hi, Dave. It's Kat, and I just wanted to say that it's like you're speaking right into, you know, my soul right now. It's how do I shut that voice up and how do I, you know, overcome that challenge of just, you know, wanting to sit back down, you know, that thing you said about the 30-minute treadmill and knowing you got to do it. You put it off from the morning to the afternoon to the evening, and, you know, and it's not just that. It replicates in other ways as well. So that's my biggest discipline challenge is to face that and continue to strive to be a better person and letting my actions control my emotions. I love that.
Thank you. And interestingly, just so you know, on the schedule, we used to do this in the morning. It was warm outside. It's getting cold now here, so it's been rainy and terrible to walking out on the hills where we live. So it's been treadmill. But I discovered that unless I'm out walking with Ramona, that's an enjoyable thing to do in the morning. Doing the treadmill in the morning, my mind is so alive, I would rather be in here writing at 5 or 6 in the morning. I'd rather be here writing. It's more productive. At the end of the day, I'm too tired to write. I just want to relax, and that's the best time for me because it's just dead time. That's the time I'm going to exercise. That's why I made the shift. So I just shifted it just a couple of days ago. We were doing it in the morning. Now we're going to do it at night. We did it at night last night, which is kind of fun. So when you're planning these kinds of things, don't fight some of the natural tendencies in your body. If you are not a morning person, don't try to become a morning person and exercise. That's an awful lot of work to do. Just start getting up a little bit more early if you'd like to and find some things that you enjoy doing. Maybe it's reading, whatever it might be, taking a little walk around the neighborhood, whatever it might be. But take these things on one piece at a time, because if you try to take on 5 or 6 of these major thought processes that are out of balance at one time, I can promise you, you will not be able to sustain it. Matter of fact, let's have some fun. I haven't done this for a long time. Let's draw a long ramp, like an Evel Knievel ramp. He would, take his motorcycle up and make a right triangle with a long ramp with a right triangle. And I want you to draw a stick figure at the bottom of the ramp and a stick figure at the top of the ramp. This is human nature. We're sitting at the bottom of this ramp, and this might be an unhealthy habit of thinking. And we decide we're just going to change it. So we go right to the top of the ramp. I've changed it. I'm here for good. We make this huge commitment. Now look where this stick figure is at the top of the ramp and tell me, what's the only direction the stick figure can go? Other than jumping off the edge.
Down.
Down. It's the only way it can down. when I start my exercise program, I have to make sure I don't try to prepare for a marathon by Saturday. We have a tendency to make it all or nothing. Remember these thought processes? All, nothing, right, wrong, win, lose. Nothing is staying at the bottom. All is going to the top. And the only place we have to go is down. We do this with dieting. We do this with exercise. We do this with other forms of discipline in our life. We start right to the top, and there's only one direction is down. Here's an idea. Take the stick figure and move it just about an inch up the ramp, and then create a new foundation under that spot. Just fill in underneath it and make that the new base. That's the new ground level. That's what Og's saying is do this and build this new habit. Now bring it to the next level and build a new habit. Bring it to the next level and build a new habit. When you get to the top, it is the base. There's no place to go but where you are. We're not going to slide down something. You can't slide down because it's the new base. So as you're taking on these things, be kind to yourself. We did not create these thought processes overnight. If some of you have honorable red to the right, it's over-focused, it's about perfectionism, it's about no matter what you do, it's never good enough. Go back in your life and say, when did I first hear this dialogue? Who said it? Do we have anybody with a perfectionistic measurement who can tell me who said it? Anybody? If not, I can tell you what I usually hear. Oh, that's my stepmom. Well, tell me about your stepmom. Oh, she was a Yale graduate. And so every time I came home with anything less than an A-, it's you're not living up to the family name, or you're not doing this, or you're not doing that. It could be a mom, could be a father, could be a priest, it could be a professor, could be a coach, could be a lot of things. But almost everybody can tell me where they first heard these words. And now they have adopted this dialogue as their own. What their mother used to say, they now say to themselves. Every time they do something, fall short, they get to beat themselves up. Unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable. Well, if that's been going on since childhood, you're not going to change this voice tomorrow. You're going to adopt for this measurement a saying, better done than perfect. Better done than perfect. I'm just going to jump in and do it, and it's going to be good enough. Now, I know that you're going to push yourself just by your own nature to do a really good job. You'll do it well. But if perfection is a requirement, you may not do it at all. Because the fear of failure. And nobody's ever been perfect. In the Christian faith, that would be Jesus, but he was only reported to be half mortal. So as mortals, there's never been one. So if that's our standard, we're in trouble. So with the second measurement, we want to adopt the principle, better done than perfect. Better done than perfect. So first measurement, want to, get to, choose to. Second measurement, better done than perfect. So you just keep adopting that. Every time you go to do something or put it off or you've done it and you want to do it again or do it even better, just say better done than perfect. Better done than perfect. Chances are it's really done well. And most wouldn't have done it that detailed or that thorough. You did. And it still wasn't good enough. Just let it go. Be okay. Move on to the next thing. The next thing, the next thing. Better done than perfect. In terms of goal-oriented, you want to go back into the book Today I Begin a New Life and or your recording in your intentional creation studio and practice these five constructive ways of thinking. I have never seen these written anywhere before. Start on page 168 with mental rehearsal. And my promise to you is if you've been a catastrophizer or a fantasizer, one, you know that fantasy never creates anything, and catastrophe just makes us worry about everything that may never happen. There's nothing good that comes out of either one of them. Nothing good. Now, my father would debate that. Bless his heart, I just spent the weekend with him, and I love him to death. And he used to joke, don't tell me worrying doesn't work because everything I worry about never happens. If you want to live life from that perspective, and he shifted out of that, but if you want to live it from that perspective where you think about the worst case scenario and you get to celebrate the fact it wasn't quite that bad. Worst case scenario wasn't quite that bad. Worst case scenario wasn't quite that bad. We get to have this joyful reunion because life didn't turn out as bad as we thought it was. That's not something good because the damage done to the body is irreparable. Reparable would be the word. It's terrible. So if you want to, let's practice these five constructive ways of thinking because you will begin to develop the habit. I'm telling you now that this is true because I've experienced this. Someone presents an issue to me and I immediately mentally rehearse. I don't even think about mentally rehearsing. I just mentally rehearse. I just go in the future, see it, get ideas. Wow, you're creative. No, I'm not creative. I'm just using my vivid visualization to mentally rehearse. Anybody can do this. It's not about creativity. It's about surrender. Surrender to the process. You truly want to bless someone's life. You want to engage. You want to embrace in life. You want to connect and serve. You want to create value. You want to contribute to the world. You want your life to be meaningful. And you're here figuring out, what can I do to make this a great whatever? You get an idea. And you follow the idea. And miracles unfold. It's mental rehearsal. Exploring possibilities without making tangible commitments. Do we put the door here or do we do it there? Before we raise the hammer, just in our mind, we play out scenarios to see which one would be the least damaging or the most valuable. Which car is the best one to buy? Just thinking through it in our mind, getting all the emotion out of it, the shiny wheels, and thinking about insurance payments and monthly payments if you're going to finance it, and budgets, and how we're going to feel when there's first few dings in it, and we're a year down the road, will it be as glorious as it is now? Would we be better off buying one that's 2 years older, that's already had tremendous depreciation? We play all those scenarios out in our mind, and we minimize risk. We seek inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. We don't let a day go by that we don't know who it was that we served. We just serve them. We're plugged into the planet. We plan, we goal set, we problem solve. This is what we want to be doing with our mind, because if we stay in this space, we'll always be filled with inspired ideas that ignite our passion, passion that drives our action. That's goal-oriented. Coachable, this is an interesting challenge. Coachable is more of observing your behavior, not because back here we say, I'm open, but are we changing? That's really the litmus test. Are we changing? No, I'm not changing. Okay, then I am not coachable. Wow, my thought process is stuck. This isn't me. This isn't an indictment of me. This is simply an indication of this thought process taking control of me. I'm going to make this change. What is the specific change and what am I going to do? You make the commitment and then you stick to the commitment. Now, pragmatic's an interesting measurement because we have a conflict here. And the conflict is that in our mind, everything is ever present. So just imagine, I'm drawing a big circle around me. It's called a gestalt. We're seeing everything that needs to be done to get there. And from a practical standpoint, you and I step back from this and we say, how much of this do I need to do today? This piece. Okay, I'm going to release the rest of it. And I'm going to focus on this piece. I'll mentally rehearse. I'll seek inspiration. I'll explore possibilities. I'll ignite my passion. And I will focus simply on this piece today. That's all I can do. We start to discipline ourselves, live in the now, focused on the next piece. For for me tonight, that's the treadmill. That's the treadmill. Okay. Well, Catherine, thank you for asking that question. Kat, for validating that we're speaking to these real issues, because this is really the core of our life. What happens here is going to determine the rest of it. This is really the conversation. Now, we do have conversations about how we feel about our tangible reality, and we're frustrated with our bank account and our credit cards and our car and maybe our relationships, etc. We do have dialogue with ourselves about ourselves in terms of our worth and worthiness. But these thought processes about how we'd like it to be, how we feeling about it, just in preparation for execution, this is where it happens. This is probably, in terms of your own personal life, not connection with people, that's success outside your world that brings joy to you. But in terms of just pure success in your life, these are probably the most important measurements. Now, the scroll I'd like you to study this week is scroll number 6. I'll be the master of my emotions. Have some fun with this scroll. That trees and plants. I'll have a chance to do a little traveling this week, so I'll have an opportunity to watch people. It's so fun to be in an airport and watch somebody, you know, trains, planes, and automobiles happening all the time in an airport because someone is late or missed a flight or the flight's delayed or, you know, they're out of rental cars or whatever the situation may be. There's always an opportunity to watch somebody bring their weather condition to the world, their weather condition. They're like a tornado. They're like a hurricane. Some are like a warm summer breeze. Some are like just a warm sunshine. Some are a drizzly rainstorm. Yeah, drizzle, 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 drizzle. It's kind of cold. It's not very friendly. It just drains you. Pay attention to people's weather condition. Be the observer of their weather condition, not to be judgmental, but to become increasingly conscious of your own. What's your weather condition? How are you showing up today? Are you complaining and whining and frustrated and overwhelmed and discouraged, and you show up in whatever you're doing in that space? Well, we absolutely infect everyone. We infect them. And we're surprised why it turns out differently than we had hoped. We must show up being the sunshine, consciously and by choice. So have fun with this scroll this week. And do your cards. Want to get to, choose to. Better done than perfect. Practice some of these principles. Have some fun with this. And see if we can't make some breakthroughs this week in terms of these thought processes. We'll want to start here on our breakthroughs. Okay, any last comments or questions before we wrap up our session tonight?
Hey, this is Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Hi. First, I want to thank Catherine and Kat for their questions and for all of your fabulous comments. I really needed to hear all of this tonight. And I wanted to just add one thing that I have found that has been really helpful for me is that when I get overwhelmed and I need to start over and I start limiting the things that I need to do on my list, I actually write them on a piece of paper so that I can cross them off when I get them done. And I only do what I can handle at a time. Now, I also want to mention to be sure that if you paste this on your wall, don't use a Sharpie because it might bleed through and mark your wall. I've had that happen.
But yeah, speaking from experience, right?
Yeah. There's something about the satisfaction of being able to just mark through that just gives you a real sense of accomplishment. It's silly, but it just seems to really kind of reinforce that thing, and it kind of gives you another reason to really want to stay with your program. I just thought that I'd throw that in tonight as a little thing that has helped me.
Thank you so very much.
That's great.
Thank you. That was great. Anyone else want to add an idea or something of what they've been doing?
Hi, Dave. This is Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi. I don't want to add an idea, but I have a question. Is that okay?
Please.
I missed something. You were talking about what I remember that just felt so perfect when you said you're talking about the voices and how overpowering they can be. And you said sometimes they're so loud and they're so controlling that your true self is just a whisper of who you really are, something like that.
A whisper in the distance. Mm-hmm.
A whisper in the distance, that's it. I need to go back and listen to that again because it felt so perfect, and I thought that's how I feel most of the time, that my true self is a whisper in the distance. And I don't know how to find her.
Well, you'll find her by reading Scroll 6 three times a day this week. Truly.
Okay.
You read it three times a day, and you start practicing these principles of want to, get to, choose to, and you'll run into those loud thought processes. And you'll know you're the one who chose to do the card. You're the one who chose to come to the class. You're the one who's choosing to read the scroll. That's who you are. You're not this thought process. And Carrie, this is the greatest promise I could give anyone on the phone. I'll give it to you. You do not lose yourself when you make these shifts. I think some people might be afraid, if this is my dominant voice, who's going to be left? Who's left is someone who's successful, happy, and has peace of mind. That's who's left. You know, the very things we want is what's left.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Matter of fact, in that card where you say, want to, get to, choose to, I will command and obey my own command, comes from that very paragraph. I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. I will command. Yes, I will. I will command, and I will obey my own command. Even if I am a voice in the distance, a whisper in the distance, I'm going to command. And I'm going to scream so loudly, I can finally tell these other voices to shut up. I'm going to get in the observer's chair. I'm going to get in the observer's chair, and I'm going to stay here longer and longer and longer and start to experience the joy that only comes when we're sitting here being our true self. Well, thank you for your comments tonight. Thanks to all of you. This has been a wonderful call. Look forward to next week. We're going to take on passion-driven action. And then we'll get in again to discipline and structure. You can feel we're getting a little deeper. I can feel it. It's like, okay, I'm the one responsible to make these changes, right? Okay, if that's the case and there's nobody's going to do it for me, I'm going to do it, then I'm going to show up. And let's make these shifts. Let's make them this time. And next time we come back around to connection with people, it's just we'll be on another plane and then another plane and then another plane. And with each time, we're getting clearer and clearer in our thought processes and experiencing more joy, more success, more happiness, more peace of mind. Well, thanks, everybody, for being here tonight. It's been great to be with you. Just jump off of mute for a moment and say goodnight, if you would, please.
Good night, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Good night.
Good night, Dave. Have fun on the treadmill.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And in the air.